Good morning, Connect Church. Good morning to all of you that are here with us this morning, all of you that are watching by the internet, Facebook Live. I just want to greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It is a privilege and an honor to stand before you once again. I thank Pastor Jay and the elders and Pastor Leem and Pastor Jared who preached an awesome message last week. And I thank God above all that he will give me the opportunity to share with you this morning about Esther. What a beautiful story. What a wonderful time we've had up until this point of learning about Esther. And as the question on the screen says, will you allow God to use ordinary you to do something extraordinary? And in this beautiful story about Esther, we see God's providential hand and care from the beginning to end, although his name is never mentioned, as Pastor Jay has said weeks ago and Jared reiterated last week. Prayer and God's name is not mentioned in this book, but God's hand is in this book. God's nature is in this book of Esther. And this morning, I have thrown this dubious task that I love of preaching about courage and risk, something that I am all too familiar with. And I want to be honest with you that there's a lot of text that we're going to cover this morning. So we're going to be in the book of Esther. It's chapter 5. In my Bible, it's on page 684. I don't know if that helps you at home on your cell phone or on your iPad, but 684, I'll give you time to get there. You know, but before I pray, I just want to tell you that Esther is a picture of God's grace and beauty and strength, obedience. And in here in chapter 5, we see that she is a picture of courage and risk. So if you will pray with me, and I'll stand and we'll read the word in just a second. Father God, I thank you that you have been so gracious to me throughout my life and that you've allowed me to come to this place. And I pray, God, that you will allow me to decrease and that you increase and that you will speak through me, God, and that you will have your way. And that what I say today will be an encouragement for those that are listening to take a risk with you, God, to take a risk for you and to lay it all on the line and use their faith and mix it with courage to do the things that you've called them to do as you did with Esther. It's in Jesus' name I pray. We thank God and we say amen. So Esther chapter 5, in the story, is the part of the story where Esther, as you know, last week we talked about, Jared talked about last week, Esther ends chapter 4 and she's praying and fasting with Mordecai, her uncle, and her handmaids in the Jewish nation that are in captivity here. And this part of the story picks up where Esther has to go in and meet with her husband, the king. And for me, just looking at it, I would be so afraid, because if you understand what we talked about before, Esther was raised in this generation where she had no voice. She couldn't just go in and rush in and see her husband. And so it was going to take some monumental courage that she had to just go in and speak to her husband and make her request known to him. And so I thought about it, Pastor Liam. I thought about it, and I'll be honest, and Pastor Jay, he called me earlier this week, you all, and he said, I want you to do this, and he scared me. And I was trying not to let on that he had scared me, but I was. I had a little fear. I had a lot of fear, let me be honest. And so I was thinking of this cool illustration, especially after Jared had the keys last week, and I was like, man, that was really cool. And so I thought about all these courageous people. My favorite movie, Braveheart, William Wallace. Man, I'm like, man, he is so brave. Look at him. He's willing to risk it all so this people could be free. I thought about David and Goliath in the stone. David, my namesake. And I'm like, man, that's great. I thought about Moses leading the children out of Israel. What courage and faith he had to have in God to take a risk to go in and speak to Pharaoh. And I'm like, man, there's got to be something. And then this morning I had an illustration that Pastor Jay got up here and he talked about Memorial Day. And so he kind of, you know, stepped on that one. But I do want to take the time that we talk about courageous people who take a risk and who have lost their lives. And we celebrate them this weekend. But what courage they had to have to go out and fight so that we all could be free and we could stand here. But the truth of it is, when it came down to it, God impressed upon my heart to be personal with you this morning. Not that I never have been personal with you as I've stood here before, but this morning I want to share something with you that you may not know about me, and that every time that I'm called to preach or teach, even at school, I have fear. Man, I don't know. You would ask my wife and I'll finish preaching. I'll get down on the bottom. We'll be in the car riding home and she'll say, "Were you a little nervous?" And I'll go, "No." She said, "Well, your voice was cracking. I was just wondering. You seemed a little nervous." And the truth of it was, I was scared. It is a fearful thing to stand before others and preach the truth of God's word when the enemy is attacking you, trying to tell you this, that, or the other about who you were, who you used to be. And so it's with those thoughts that we come to preach these messages to you. And I know every preacher faces that, but I face that. And there are a lot of times that I'm sitting there and I have these butterflies in my stomach and they're churning and I'm sweating bullets. And I get up here and I have to gather my courage and my faith in God, knowing that he's going to say exactly what he wants to say through me, and I go through with it. And it's hard sometimes because I want to be able to live up to the things that I'm preaching. I want to live up to the things that I'm saying. And sometimes I know that I fall short. And I know there are people that know me, and they know I fall short. And so you think about those things and you go, man, I'm afraid. I don't, you know, if you knew my former life, you know that I used to talk a certain way. And so you get scared. You're like, I don't want to say a bad word. I don't want to miss my lines. If you ever been in a play, you were like, I can't remember my lines. And sometimes we write it down and we study it, and you get up here and you draw a blank. And so you have to come with only the courage that you can muster in God. And so today I speak about that, and even this morning when people were encouraging me to stand, I was like, "Ooh, man, you just don't know. I am going through right now. I'm having a time." But the more I talk to you, the more comfortable I get in my skin and the more comfortable I get in the message. And I just want to tell you, I cannot even imagine what it was for Esther to go before someone she knew could kill her on the spot to ask a question. So a question I'd like to ask you is, has God asked you to take any kind of monumental risk for him? And what was your response? How did you respond? Because God is asking Esther to take a risk with her life to save his people. It's here in the text. You see, Esther really is a foreshadowing of Jesus Christ. She is a picture of Christ in the Old Testament as she stands for a people and tries to save them from undue persecution. It is Esther who has the faithful courage to take the risk and show us what courage means. Now, you know me, I'm an educator, so I looked up this word courage. It's a noun. The definition of courage is bravery and strength to do something that could be dangerous. Has God called you to do something dangerous? Like proclaim his name and risk losing your family and your friends, maybe your job, I don't know. But has God called you to do something courageous? And here's what I found out, church, that courage is not the absence of fear. It is acting in spite of our fear, especially when we're walking with God. Courage is not in my ability, but in the ability of God to operate through me and through us. Esther is a portrait, a picture of God operating through one of his faithful servants. So when we speak appropriately about having courage, we need to speak about mixing courage with our faith. And when we mix courage with our faith, we can take risks for God. We can take risks with God because it's hard for some of us. And we take these monumental risks for God that will ultimately bless others and then ourselves. You've often heard me say that. May we get the good and God get the glory. Esther takes a risk to intercede for others with the help of God. And it's here in chapter 5 and 6. You heard me correctly. We're going to preach 5 and 6 in just a short amount of time. Based on Esther's actions this morning, I ask again, has God called you to a monumental task that will require faith, courage, and risk? Do you want to stand with God? Do you want to stand what God stands for and God desires? Are you willing to take the risk for God? There are three things that Esther will teach us this morning about faithful courage and taking a risk for God. Amen? So with that said, I'm going to read the first four verses of Esther. I won't have you stand this time. I've already started. So now it came about on the third day that Esther put on her royal robes and stood in the inner court of the king's palace in front of the king's rooms. And the king was sitting on his royal throne in the throne room opposite the entrance to the palace. When the king saw Esther, the queen, standing in the court, she obtained favor in his sight. And the king extended to Esther the golden scepter, which was in his hand. So he invited her to come in. So Esther came near and touched the top of the scepter. Then the king said to her, "What is troubling you, Queen Esther, and what is your request? Even to half of the kingdom it shall be given to you." And Esther said, "If it pleases the king, may the king and Haman come this day to the banquet that I have prepared for him." So if you've been with us and tracking with us over the last 4 weeks, you'll know that there are a couple of players in this story, in this Bible narrative, so to speak. There's Mordecai, Esther's uncle, who rescued her from being an orphan and raised her and instilled values and belief in her and helped her to become the woman that she is. And there's Haman, a prideful guy that is seeking his own benefit, so to speak. So we come to this place where Haman has decided that he's going to have all the Jewish people killed to benefit himself. And he's decreed it with the king. And at the end of chapter 4, as Jared said, Esther makes a decision that they would pray and fast and that she would go in unbeknownst and uninvited to see her husband, which we learned last week, you can't really do that in those times. She hadn't seen him in 30 days. He hadn't invited her. So you know how it is when you're at home and somebody shows up on your doorbell and they ring it, ding, and you're like, "I didn't invite anybody over here." So we have to make a decision. Either we go let them in or we play like we're not there. But in this case, she could be killed. I mean, can you imagine that? We can't imagine that. Like, man, if I show up, I could be that. That's serious stuff. And so what I see here is that faithful courage motivates us to take decisive risk. But she didn't just take any risk, guys. She took a calculated risk. And I like to say that because Esther prepared herself spiritually before she went in. The Bible says in chapter 4, 15 through 17, that Esther and the people fasted and prayed. So the question is, before we take risk, are we preparing ourselves spiritually? Are we seeking God's face? Are we seeking God's presence? Are we fasting? Are we praying? Are we seeking God's will? Are we seeking God's direction? Although God is not mentioned, God is showing up, and he continues to show up. Even in your life, if I look back over my life, I can look at the times where I sought God's direction and I did not seek God's direction. I did not prepare spiritually. I rushed right in. And I had to deal with the consequences of rushing right into it. But not only did she prepare herself spiritually, Esther's a woman, and she's smart. She prepared herself physically. The Bible says that she put on her royal robes. She dressed the part as the queen, so that when the king saw her, she would catch his eye. I hope y'all didn't miss that. Oftentimes, we have to prepare ourselves spiritually and prepare ourselves physically as Christians. Sometimes we have to kneel and pray. Sometimes we have to openly worship. Sometimes we have to do things that are uncomfortable for us so that God will notice and we will catch his attention. I want to encourage our young people that are sitting at home, our students, as they sit there. As I've often talked to students and young people, what are you doing to prepare yourself for the next level? And the believers that are young and students that are young, are you preparing yourselves to take a courageous risk and speak to your friends who are going through this time about God? There's a lot of questions I have this morning. Because the truth of it is, children that have been raised in church have been raised up for such a time as this. Where other students are struggling and suffering, and you know Jesus Christ, and you've been to Bible study, and you've read your Bible, are you taking a risk and speaking to your friends about Jesus? But this decisive risk, it's not anything that we just run into. It's not anything we just take for granted. She doesn't take it for granted. You can see here that she took 3 days. I was reminded when I was reading this, and the text says, now it came about on the third day. It reminded me of somebody else on the third day. Did y'all hear about Jesus Christ? I know you heard about Jesus. It says, and on the third day, this is how we can say Esther is definitely a foreshadowing and a picture of Christ. After fasting and praying, she went in and she took a risk. Can you imagine Jesus standing, taking the courage to go before and give up his life for us? I get encouraged by that. Every time I think about it, every time I think about what Jesus did for me, I go, man, for me? He took a risk. She's taking a risk for her people. But that's not all this text says. In verses 2 through 4, which I've read, and I'll read it again, and then in 7 and 8, faithful courage builds confidence to stand and make our requests known. It is oftentimes with us, we have no courage to stand before God and ask God what it is we really want from God. Sometimes we don't have the courage to stand before people and ask them what it is that we really want from them because, one, we haven't prepared spiritually, we haven't prepared physically, and we just rush right in. And we don't have the confidence that the prayers will be answered. The reason I got up out of the chair and walked up here because I know that I studied and I read it and I wrote it down and I said, God, you'll use it however you want to do it this morning. It may not come out exactly like I wrote it, but he'll do it because I have confidence not in me, not in my ability, but in what God's going to do. Because God said he would neither leave me nor forsake me. He said that about all of us. I will neither leave you nor shall I forsake you. But in this standing, here's what it says. When the king saw Esther, the queen standing in the court, she obtained favor in his sight. That's a whole nother sermon right there. That's the blessing. Just imagine. She's thinking, I'm risking it all. But the Bible says she obtained favor, and he'll mention that again. But we won't unpack that today. That's another sermon. But she obtained favor, and the king extended the golden scepter which was in his hand. So Esther came near, touched the top of the scepter. Then the king said to her, what is troubling you? Because she's prepared, now she can make her request. And what is your request? Even to half the kingdom. Can you see God working on this man's heart before she got there through prayer and fasting? Even before she got there. And she says, if it pleases the king, may the king and Haman come this day to the banquet I have prepared. Jump down to verse 7. Esther has a little more conversation with them during the banquet. And then we get to verse 7. So Esther replied, my petition and my request is, if I have found favor in the sight of the king, and it pleases the king to grant my petition to do what I request, may the king and Haman come to the banquet, which I will prepare for them tomorrow, and I will do as the king says. Because of her confidence through prayer and fasting, because of her confidence and her courage, and her willingness to take a risk, now she stands before the king. And she requests what it is she wants. Here's a question that I have. Our statement. We must take courage and risk it all, standing before the King of Kings for others' behalf. Not that we're risking it all with God, but risking it all for God. We may lose family, we may lose friends, we may lose all those things standing for God. But in these times, who are we standing with? What are we standing on? What are we believing about God in tough times? You see, Esther's standing reminds me of the Apostle Paul when he's writing to the Ephesians. And he's talking about putting on the armor of God. And I looked at what she had done, and I looked at what Paul wrote. And he talked about putting on all this armor. And the last thing he says is stand firm. Doing all that you've done, stand firm. And it is here that Esther, she can't make the request if she doesn't stand there. So my question is to us, are we standing? Are we standing before God and making our request known to him? I see a lot of different things out there. I see a lot of people talking about a lot of different things, but are we standing and asking God what it is that we truly want? What we truly need? Where we truly need to be? Where would he desire for us to be? And because of her courage, you'll see as you read the story, and I encourage you to read this whole book, and I encourage you to go and read chapter 5 and 6, you'll see that because of what she is doing and what Mordecai is doing, you will see God's providential hand starts to operate, and he's operating behind the scenes, but now God is coming out from behind the scene, and he's showing them what he will do. Chapter 6 is an example of what God plans to do. Because here we go, getting ready to go to chapter 6, and God is going to do something that totally blows my mind. It's not even about Esther, but it's about her uncle. But what it reminds me of is that when we're in this position, we're here for somebody else. We're standing, not just for ourselves, but those connected to us. Those we wish to have the blessing. Those that we wish to walk in the way that God wants them to. So, students, I ask again, are we standing for God in all times? And in tough situations. I ask that of all of us. Lastly, in chapter 5, verses 9 through 14, I just want to kind of tell this story because this story gets kind of funny to me. It really does. And that's the serious stuff. It's all over. But this is the part that really made me chuckle. And it really made me go, okay, God, how do I really... put this in here so that it makes sense as to what Esther's doing. That's a tough piece because this part from 9 through 14 is about Haman. And I'm like, God, what does Haman being prideful have to do with me? What, I mean, that's Haman being prideful. I'm not prideful. And God reminded me that in when I was going through this tough situation and trying to figure this out, who did I call? Who did I call? Did I call anybody else? I mean, I was praying. He said, have you picked up the phone? Have you reached out to? So it has a lot to do with us. But then he showed me that he contrasts Haman's prideful self with his nature of being God. Because in 9 through 14, Haman decides to leave, and he is like, oh, man, I'm getting invited to go see the queen. I'm getting to go to a banquet, knowing all along that he wants to kill these people. And so he gets outside of her presence, in the king's presence, and he's leaving, and he goes through to the gate to go home, and he sees, who does he see? His arch enemy, Mordecai. Sees Mordecai, and he's like, well, this dude won't bow to me. This dude needs to bow to me like he's the king. And he gets angry, and he goes home in the beginning of chapter 6, and he calls his wife in, and he calls his friend in, and he's like, I need to talk to you. Man, first of all, I want to tell you, man, we got all these riches. We got everything. Everything going on for us right now. Everything is cool. But all of these things, I even got invited today to go to the Queen Esther's banquet. Can you believe it? Me. Haman, I'm going to hang out with the queen and the king. He said, but all of that pales in comparison because this dude will not bow to me. He won't do it. So he's upset. And in the middle of the night, God starts to operate on the king's heart. He causes him to have a sleepless night. You ever had a sleepless night? I've had some sleepless nights. So the king is having this sleepless night, and he gets up and he goes to the records, and he's like, you know, there was a plot against my life a little while ago, and we never honored the guy that told us about the plot. So he calls the servant. He says, so what do we do? What do we do to honor a guy that had stopped me from being killed? You know who that guy was? Mordecai, Esther's uncle. So here it is. They're praying, they're fasting. Did y'all catch that? They're praying, they're fasting. Esther's standing, Esther's requesting, and God's moving. It's a beautiful story. God is acting because they're preparing. God is acting because they're doing the things that he's called them to do. And now God is going to show up and, as they say, show out. So that all through the night, he's having this conversation, and it's early morning, and Haman, he's at home with his wife, and his friend and his wife give him some really bad advice in his prideful state. They said, go and build a gallows 50 feet high so that you can hang Mordecai. Try not to tell too much, Pastor Jay. I know you're coming next week, so I'm trying to save it for Pastor Jay, y'all. So you can hang Mordecai. He's like, oh, that's a great idea. I will do that so we can hang Mordecai because I'm hating this dude. And so he does it. So he goes back because he's got to go to the banquet with the king. So he walks in, and the king says, hey, man, just the person I need to see. Dude, check this out. What do we do for a guy that did something for the king and we never honored him? And so Haman, in his pride, goes, oh, he's fixing to hook me up. He going to bless me today. Yeah, because that's our pride. That's how we are. It's about us. It's not about anybody else sometimes. And so I was sitting here, and I'm reading, and I'm laughing. I'm like, this has got to be made for TV stuff. Look at this guy. He is all into it, like, oh. And the king, he says, oh, yeah, this is what he said. This is what he said. It's in chapter 6. It says, then Haman said to the king, for the man whom the king desires to honor, let them bring a royal robe. Remember, he's thinking about himself. So he's like, oh, I want the goods. Bring a royal robe which the king has worn, and the horse on which the king has ridden, and on whose head a royal crown has been placed, and let the robe and the horse be banded over to one of the king's most noble princes, and let them array the man whom the king desires to honor and lead him on horseback through the city square, and proclaim before him, thus it shall be done to the man whom the king desires to honor. And what I didn't read is the king says, go get Mordecai and do such this thing that you have mentioned to him. Can you imagine? I would have been like, whoa, wait a minute. Boy, do what? Go get Mordecai? No. But what it says to me, and the third point is, faithful courage reveals the nature of God. When we are courageous and we act, God's nature, who he is going to show up. Haman's pride exposes him. He boasted about his riches. He boasted about his invitation, and his anger got the best of him. And you contrast it with God's nature of kindness and goodness and love. Yes, he does punish and rebuke us. But in this case, Mordecai is elevated. Not just because of what Mordecai had done, but because of what they were doing, their actions. They were seeking God's presence. They were wanting God to move and act. They had no idea that he would act like this, but this is just like a scratch or just a paragraph in the story, because there's more to come. As they say, it gets better and better as we go along. So in chapter 6, God's providential nature is contrast against Haman's prideful nature as we enter in. God desires for us, to have this humble spirit, a spirit of humility. And as I was reading this, two scriptures came to mind. Matthew 23 and 12, where Jesus is teaching. And he's teaching his disciples, and he's talking about remaining humble and what will happen to those that are humble. And he says to them, he says, whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will it be exalted. Mordecai humbled himself enough to go and talk to the king about the plot on his life. I could only imagine, because I've watched enough movies, that the first, when you come into the king, and I've watched these movies, that the first thing they think is, you're trying to kill me. So it wasn't just Esther that had courage and faith to do the right thing, but it was her uncle first. She did it because he did it. He didn't have to tell the king, and he knew by going in to tell the king that somebody was going to kill him that he was risking it all, because at first, and if you've watched enough of the Knights of the Round Tables movies, they bring you in first. Even now, if you go watch 48 Hours, you're a suspect. But he wasn't. And God honors that. God honors him. But Proverbs said something else. And this really helped me this week. A man's pride will bring him low, but a humble spirit will attain honor. Haman, as you will see in the coming week, will be brought very low. And in the midst of this story about Esther, God shows up and he just wants us to see his hand. And so I show up here today, and I just want to ask a few more questions as I close. I want to encourage our students to be like Esther and have courage and be obedient, and how being obedient can reveal God's nature and care for us. Pastor Jay loves to ask this question. Sometimes I ask it when I read the Bible. I'm like, so what? I learned that from you, Pastor Jay. So what do we do with all of this information? What do we do learning how to take decisive risk and having this courageous faith? What do we do with that? What is God calling you to right now? When you look at the life of Esther, what is God calling you to do that is going to take a lot of courage and it's going to take a huge risk? You may be a student. God may be calling you to talk to one of your friends. You may be a coworker. God may be calling you to preach truth to them. You may be an unbeliever, and God is calling you to give your life to him. I don't know. I know that over 12 years ago, God called me to preach the gospel. It was probably one of the scariest things I've ever done in my life because I know my past better than anybody else because I lived it. And I had to risk looking foolish to a lot of people. And I had to gather my courage and say, yes, Lord, send me, I'll go. So I ask you this morning, based on Esther's life and Esther going in and preparing herself spiritually and physically, and Esther standing when nobody else could stand because she was the only one that God would use to do it. She had been raised up for that time. So is God calling you to be a bold witness in the face of adversity? It's COVID-19 season. Is God calling you not to complain about it and to preach the gospel in your platform? Here's another question. How can we exhibit courage in the face of what the world is facing now? How can we exhibit courage to stand in the gap and intercede on the behalf of our family, our friends, and even our enemies in a time like this? And the last question is this: who is God calling you to take a risk for his sake? Because all of us have that person in our lives. All of us, whether you're on the internet watching me or you're right here, there's a person that you know that God is calling you to gather your courage and prepare yourself and go in and tell them the truth about who he is. And so as I finish, I'll take the first step. There may be someone that doesn't know Christ as their Savior. You may know of Christ, but you don't know Christ. So today I ask you, if you're watching me, are you willing to give your life to Christ? And I believe that we have all been raised up for such a time as this. We've come to church, we've heard sermon after sermon, and we've listened to song after song. And now's our time to share the gospel. So if you haven't accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and you don't have the boldness to tell anybody about it, now's your time. This is a church that you can be welcome in. This is a church where you can have a voice to speak about what it is God is doing in your life. For all of us here, as I close, I think God wants to use us in a very special way. In a way that will impact the nation. I've said this to many of friends. In this day, God is calling saints to speak up and to speak out and to make his name great. Will you take the courage and risk to do so from this point on? I will. Shall we pray? Father God, we thank you for Esther. We thank you for a beautiful story. We thank you for someone that was willing to risk her life to save someone else. And we pray, Father God, as the story continues to unfold with Esther and next week, that as they got the cliff notes this week, that they will come back, all of us, and we'll see, God, how you continue to move and to save your people. But God, before I go, I just pray you give us the holy boldness to speak the truth of who you are to our family, to our friends, to our enemies, to those that are in our sphere of influence, God, that we will share the gospel so that no one shall perish. Give us the ability and the strength to do what you've called us to do, God. And we love you, and we ask for it in Jesus' name. Let the church say amen. 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 You all be blessed.
You all can stand as we sing this song.